Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
And welcome to the Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, and I am joined by the dapper Matt Turner. Matt Turner, it's the festive season, and good grief, is it chilly?
Yeah, it actually was snowing here a little bit, my friend. Just stopped. So it was nice seeing it. I do enjoy the Christmas season, the Christmas weather for right around Thanksgiving until New Year's. But come January 2nd, brother, I am ready for the spring. So, but I'm doing fantastic. I hope our listeners are doing fantastic. Mr. Rob Goodwin, how are you today, good sir?
I am very, very well. As I was saying, we are looking at selling our house. So I've just had a lovely family coming to have a look around, which is why this podcast might be a little bit on the shorter side, simply because just trying to cram this in today was perhaps a poor choice, but thankfully we've only got one show to talk about. And in Britain, we seem to be getting a little bit of a freeze on. We had really sort of tepid and just a very unpleasant summer, and then this has been taken over by an absolutely bloody freezing winter, and at the moment it is 20 degrees, which is -3 in degrees Celsius. So bit chilly, bit cold, and what am I going to go and do later on? Stand in a field. So yeah, absolutely buzzing, but I am even more excited to talk about Stardom's latest pay-per-view effort because, Matt, Nagoya Big Winter is in the books. And obviously we're going to talk about, you know, little bits of news here and there, but the main focus is the Nagoya Big Winter and the direction that we now have for Dream Queendom. And I just wanted to get, before we delve into everything, I just wanted to get your thoughts on where Stardom sits right now.
I'm super excited, my friend. You know, you did say, you did mention that this pay-per-view is in the books. Not only is that in the books, but was also in the books, and by meaning my book that I wrote in, is I have the rock and roll segment of the week all written down, my friend. So I know we do literally have to rock and roll, as you have places to be in about an hour and change, but I have it all written down as we did get a good pop from people that said they really enjoyed when we make these rock and roll references. So if you don't mind, sir, I will take the shot at it this week, and we will see if you can guess the name of the band. I'm super excited for it. But good, sir, to answer your question, yeah, we have our three big title matches all ready to rock and roll for Dream Queendom, obviously, on top. We will not only see a new champion, guaranteed a new champion at Dream Queendom, but it's going to be a first-time ever champion as a Micah and Mike and Suzu Suzuki. Not only neither of these wrestlers held the red belt before, they never held the white belt before. So interesting direction, considering how loaded that main event roster is where it's going to be a big shakeup in a good way. I'm super excited for it. And speaking of the white belt, the Wonder of Stardom Championship, It is a rematch about 3 weeks in the making, and I'm super excited. Mirai and Soriano put on that absolute banger of a classic match just a handful of weeks ago, and it was so nice. They're going to do it twice, or thrice, if you're counting their match from the five-star Grand Prix, and a match I'm super excited for, with Aphrodite, the new goddess of stardom, tag team champions, taking on the team of Momo Watanabe and Ruwaka. And I was actually just thinking about this on my way, my drive into work today, partner, is that just as of yesterday, we did our alternate commentary for our lovely Patreon listeners of Saya Kamatani and Utami Hayashisa defending the Goddess of Stardom Championships versus Momo Watanabe and Izumi from 3 years ago. And now we're kind of getting that match somewhat again, because obviously Aphrodite are the tag champs going in. And in my opinion, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with me that Saya and Utami are better now than they were 3 years ago. And that's, again, I did make mention, that's one of my favorite tag matches in Stardom history, was that match between the two Queen's Quest teams of Aphrodite and Momo Oz. And then on the other side, you do once again have Momo Watanabe. Now, she's different because she's a heel, and she's been doing some phenomenal work the last 7 or 8 months in that heel role. And then you have Natsuko Tora, who they've done a great job building up pretty much since before the cage match in the summer, and had an absolutely blistering five-star Grand Prix. So I'm looking forward to all three of these matches, but I might be looking forward to the tag match more than the other two championship matches. So kudos to Stardom, as we do have some really, really good direction going into the big show to close out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about Dream Queendom after we have reviewed Nagoya Big Winter. But it certainly is an interesting direction. I love the fact that we are investing in youth. We are investing in, you know, it would have been very simple for Stardom just to pivot and, you know, throw Utami into that red belt scene, or to throw Julia into that red belt scene, or to throw Siri into that red belt scene, established main eventers. But credit where credit is due, after what can only be described as a bumpy 6 months, let's call it bumpy, it's good to see that we have a clear direction, and it's good to see that Stardom are entrusting the top prize to a Mika or to a Suzu Suzuki. Either way, whichever way they end up going, I'm very confident that they will do a fantastic job with it. However, before we do any of that, before we talk any modern day Stardom, Matt, let's talk about what is coming up on the Stardom Cast Extra this week. Good sir, please regale us with what we have coming up.
Absolutely, sir. We are starting off, as believe it or not, we are in the month of December, crazy to say, and we are having ourselves a Queen Quest Christmas. And we started off with a bang, literally one of the greatest Wonder of Stardom Championship matches in history. Myself and one Rob Goodwin did the alternate commentary of Sai Kamatani defending the Wonder of Stardom Championship against Starlight Kid. That is already up on the Patreon feed. And then next week, I did mention just about a minute or two ago, the alternate commentary of Aphrodite, Sai Kamatani, and Utami Hayashisa defending the Goddess of Stardom tag team champions against the team of Momo Watanabe and Izumi Momo Oz from November 2020 in the legendary Korakuen Hall. And also probably coming up in about a week or so, my review of Izumi's five-star Grand Prix 2021 run. That'll be up in your Patreon feeds in about a week or so. Now, Rob, real quickly, my friend, I just want to touch upon this Izumi. I already did the homework's all done. I just have to record it. I'll probably record that on Thursday. So, the day before that this drops. So, again, that'll probably be in your Patreon feeds in about a week or so. I did the homework of this run. I know you're very familiar with this run because you wrote a book on the entire year of 2021 called Living the Dream, Stardom's 10th anniversary in review by my good friend Rob Goodwin. And I watched these matches maybe about a year and a half ago, and I just completely forgot how loaded that Blue Stars block was back in 2021. You had Izumi, Saya Kamatani, Tam, who's the white belt champion, Utami, who's the red belt champion, Kunami, Shiri, again, obviously Izumi. So it's like, as I'm going through these matches, I was like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. Oh, I know this is going to be great. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. I was like, wow, what a loaded blue block that absolutely was. It was an absolute joy for me to go back and watch these matches, and I'm so excited to record the review of that. So, my friend, that 2021 five-star Grand Prix, that was something, was it not?
Absolutely, and of course you forgot Takumi of Roha was also in that block. I mean, let's be honest. That block was stellar, and it was a very, very, very exciting tournament. So you're going to be very, very busy, obviously, with Azumi's Grand Prix retrospective, Utami's Victoria's 2020 retrospective. We've got so much coming up. Obviously, last week was Sire and Starlight Kid on the alternate commentaries. This Sunday, me and Matt sit down to watch Manami Toyota versus Mima Shimoda from the All Japan Women's Japan Grand Prix 1995. It is a time, I will be honest, it's absolutely breathtaking in the best possible way. It's got literally everything you could want. As Matt has already mentioned, Aphrodite and Momo AZ will be in your feeds on the 11th of December, and we will be recording very, very shortly the round table discussion with our good friend Scotty Wrestling, where we will be debating, Matt, that age-old question: whose reign was better, Io's V14 or Sire's V15? That will be dropping in your feeds on Sunday, the 17th of December. And don't forget, you can, of course, look at the entire festive schedule over on Twitter and on Instagram. It's pinned to the top of our feed if you want to know what bonus episodes you are getting this month over at www.patreon.com/thestardomcast. And thank you to everyone who has subscribed over there or has listened to us or interacted with us over there. You guys are awesome. Now, sorry, Matt.
Real quick, buddy, I just want to quickly just promote our YouTube page. Obviously, the YouTube page is growing by leaps and bounds. And what we're doing is we're going to be putting a little bit more content on it than just the shows and the interviews. I'm going to be releasing some live videos, pretty much just at my discretion. And it's just going to be like my quick thoughts. Like, I released a video where it was just me reviewing the Cork and Hall show from last week, because as we record, the same day it recorded, it went up a few hours earlier. I did some non-spoiler reviews on literally Saturday morning, just hours after the big winter pay-per-view. And literally, this is all one take. This is all going to be one take. So if I mess up, I'm leaving it in. If my cat comes into the frame, I'm leaving it in. Everything is going to be, as soon as I hit that record button, I'm going to say what I need to say. And again, if I fumble my words or I mess up or something happens, I'm going to leave it in there. So just in case anybody watched the last video, which I recorded, again, it was the big winter spoiler-free review of the big winter in Nagoya show, which we'll be doing a full spoiler review in a little bit. I realized about 2 hours after I uploaded the video, and again, I went right to YouTube Live, that for some reason, when I recorded on my phone, I didn't rotate it all the way, and it came upside down. So I was contemplating all for about 30 seconds. Should I take it down and redo it? And I was like, no, I'm going to leave it in there because I'm going to leave the mistakes in there. Now, Rob, as you know, we've been doing this show together for 2 years now. I quote the late, great Roddy Piper a lot. So I went in his vein, when Roddy Piper would do his podcast, if somebody would mess up or something would mess up, Roddy would be like, he would literally say to the producers, leave that in there. I want that in there. I want the mistakes in there. I want people to see that, hey, we're all human. We all make mistakes, and we're just going to leave it in there. So much so that if you ever go, if anybody has the Peacock Network or WWE Network or whatever it's called, that they have a segment there called Table for Three, where they just have three random wrestlers eating dinner or lunch or breakfast, whatever, and they're just talking about whatever for about a half an hour segment. The very first Table for Three featured Roddy Piper, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and Mean Gene Okerlund, which all three of them are no longer with us. But there's a part where the waiter drops a dish and Mean Gene like oversells it, right? And Piper starts laughing. He's like, leave it in, leave it in, leave it in. So I'm going by that vein, that anything that gets messed up, I'm completely leaving in there. So I hope you guys enjoy all these videos that I'm going to be doing. And more than likely, you'll probably see once or twice a week, like a match of the week. We know we have a lot of new listeners and a lot of new watchers of Stardom that are constantly asking us, like, what matches should I go to? So what I'll do is I will probably put up a quick 4 or 5 minute YouTube video of like me watching the match in the background, saying this is, should be the match that we should watch this week. And then you can always just comment below. So it's gonna be very, very interactive and, you know, very, very raw. Like I said, no edits, no nothing, just, you know, me full speed.
I mean, if it's good enough for me, Gene Oakland, it's good enough for you, my man. I feel like that should be the standard. but yes, let's talk a little bit more about Bushiroad. Not for anything particularly Stardom related, but I can't help noticing sort of people in New Japan or people who follow New Japan becoming extremely disgruntled with certain areas of the company. And it started with a podcast I listened to religiously, the Super J Cast. Love Joel and Damon, they are fantastic. And they were responding to New Japan Global's Twitter page, where they have said again, and we know that this isn't the first time, that obviously New Japan have released this new app. Due to technical issues, planned live English coverage of World Tag League Finals will instead be available very soon after the event. Now, this isn't the first time or the second time or indeed the third time that planned English commentary has had to go by the wayside, from what I've heard, aside from the app being being more convenient. It has been what can only be described as an embarrassment. The rollout has been littered with mistakes and things like that. So you couple that with the fact that there is a lot of talk about Kazuchika Okada leaving to join AEW or WWE. Obviously, I know that people are saying, oh, his contract's up at the end of January. That's how New Japan work. Every single contract, I believe, is a year long and runs from January to January. So it just, from what my understanding is, it's simply that Okada is giving it more thought than he ordinarily would. You couple that with the fact that we've had all of these issues in Stardom, from, you know, the miscommunication or the lack of communication between Bushiroad and the wrestlers, and indeed Rossi as well. You mix with the fact that Kairi came back and has now left. You couple that with the fact that there's all these rumors about Julia leaving, discontent on the roster. It seems at the moment, Matt, that Bushiroad Fi have got rather a lot of issues with their image at the moment. Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, a little bit, a lot of it. We talked about this, you know, a few weeks ago. It's just communication. They just need to be communicating, you know, with their staff better. And that just goes for any business, you know, any company. You just need to have open communications from, like, the bosses that are calling the shots to the employees who are out there, you know, really putting in the time in this point. And, you know, in this case, in scenario, I mean the wrestlers, you know, just have open communications. And again, the wrestlers are the ones that are in front of the fans, and the fans are the ones that are driving your business. So the wrestlers know firsthand what's working, what's not working. And they just kind of just, I think, maybe need to sit down with everybody and kind of, like, not change everything, but again, keep the communication open, you know, be bamboo, bend, but don't break. Like, hey, what's working? What's not working? What are you guys thinking here? You know, again, nobody, if you're wrestling for New Japan or let's just Stardom, I'm just Stardom podcast. You know, if you're a person that is employed by Stardom, everybody wants to see the company grow. Mayu wants to see the company grow. Rossi wants to see the company grow. The presidents want to see the company grow. You know, the anybody working production, they want to see the company grow, because if Stardom grows, then everybody wins. But at the same time, you kind of all need to be on the same page. And it's okay to have disagreements on ideas and booking philosophies and certain things, but you kind of just need to take a step back and figure out what in long term is going to be best, you know, for the company, for the performer, you know, for the faction, you know, so on and so forth. So I just think that that's what they need to do. I think everybody just needs to cool off a little bit, take a step back, and make sure that New Japan and Stardom are headed in the right direction. But from what I understand, Rob, I'm breaking news here. Okada is going to be, from what I was told, Okada will be leaving New Japan to join Stardom. So this way we can get that big, Okada Hazuki match, because, you know, brother, we love us push some Hazuki, my friend. That's not really happening, anybody. Before this clip gets pulled out on Twitter, like, Matt says Okada to Stardom in February.
imagine if that was the case. It's been something that I feel like there needs to be serious changes. And obviously we've seen Bushiroad make those changes. Obviously we have a new president as of the 1st of December. I just think it's interesting that it's not just Stardom that have seen fallout from this, it's also New Japan, which is, you know, a considerably bigger company than Stardom is. So hopefully Bushiroad will be able to write these things as quickly as possible, because, you know, just speaking of the app, you know, it is far more convenient. It's a great idea. However, I've been in jobs before where things have been rolled out before they're ready, and the fallout is more trouble than it's worth. And I've just, I get the impression every time I see something about the New Japan app, that was the problem with it, that it was rolled out before everything was that was sorted with it. But that aside, I just wanted to bring that up. Obviously, New Japan, of course, have lost Will Ospreay as well, as of the end of January. More Stardom-centric news. I don't know if you've seen this, Matt, and it's not really news. I just thought this was really cool. So the We Are Stardom Twitter page posted something today with Utami, who, we're, along with her Goddess of Stardom belt and in full wrestling gear, went back to her middle school and spoke to the students there. I thought that was really good, especially when you consider that, you know, the one person I remember coming into our school was a man that made concrete. And, you know, I'm not disparaging the man that made concrete, but I don't feel like he compares with a former World of Stardom champion. So I thought that was really cool. And the fact that she stood there in this brand new gear with the belt on the desk as she's addressing all of these children, I thought that was really cool.
Not only full gear, but full gear in December. You know what I mean? It's funny, yeah. It was the summertime. It's like, yeah, it's a little cooler being in this gear, but it's like full gear in December. God bless her. I mean, just, that's just awesome. It really just goes to show just how good Utami is, not only just for Stardom, but her community. And she's able to give back by going to the school that she graduated from. And you see a lot of people look up to her because Utami is a big star, and she's going to continue to be a bigger and bigger star. That's awesome. I thought that was really cool. The only question I have, and maybe this will never be answered, Rob, is did anybody get clotheslined or hijack bombed? That's what I want to know. Like, who's the one kid that was misbehaving all year? Yeah, you? Come here. Boom, hijack bomb.
Well, you know for a fact if they were hijack bombed through a desk, it would not break, because we know just how hard Japanese wood is. It's his own metal, that Japanese wood, I tell you. But yes, I thought that was really cool, Utami going back to her roots. Wait, what's this? Io Shirai back to Stardom confirmed? What? No, of course not. There is a photo going around of Konami and Io Shirai, which is really nice. Obviously, Konami is currently in Miami, I believe, or America in the very least, because of Tsukiban, and she sought out Io Shirai, and there is a photo going around of those two together. So I thought that was really nice. Just a little photograph and a little tidbit there. And
there's another photo going around too, my friend.
Is there really?
Did you see this one with Kairi and Unagi?
I did see this. I did see this. I also saw when they had a car at some point, and Kairi just looks like she has had enough of Unagi's nonsense.
She looks like so serious. And Unagi, I mean, Kairi, she seems like she's like the sweetest person that God ever created. And Unagi's like, I'm getting under her nerves. I know it. And I'm so happy about it. So. I mean, obviously, Io is my favorite of all time. So, but I tell you this, if I can sit in one of those rooms or one of those cars, I think the Kairi and Unagi one might be a little more entertaining. You know, not saying that Konami and Io isn't, but Konami's really making the rounds with these big stars lately. I know that they did Tsukiban did a show. Was it Tsukiban or was it one of these other? Might have been Spark or whatever. She did a show maybe about a month or so ago where she was at a 7-Eleven getting a Slurpee, and all of a sudden the camera turns and Mercedes Moné comes over. She goes, there's way too much sugar in there. And someone asked me, he's like, can you comment on this? And I was like, I don't know what you want me to say, but Mercedes is right. There's way too much sugar in a Slurpee.
There is, so. 100%. Those things blow your head off. It was after the Pro Wrestling Kitsune show, the one that was promoted by Eric from the Joshi Pod. And he's also just finished running a show in Shinkiba. So, Eric, if you listen, you are doing a tremendous job. good sir, and I salute you. What a guy, what a job.
Keep up the good work too, brother. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Just a little bit of just a few announcements in regard to future things for Stardom. The first thing worth noting is that Stardom will be making an appearance at Tokyo Comic Con. They did this last year as well. There's an exhibition match. It is a 6-woman tag team match with Utami Hayashishita, Azumi, and Miyu Amasaki of Queen's Quest, taking on the team of Hanako, Suzu Suzuki, and Mei Seira. And that will, of course, be taking place at Tokyo Comic Con on the 8th of December. So Stardom making more appearances. And it's interesting to note that it is Suzu Suzuki that is on that card and not Micah, though, of course, I am not speculating in the slightest. We also have our first match announcement for the Christmas Eve year-end climax show, which will, of course, be at Corican Hall, as it always is. It's a prelude match for Sumo Hall after, of course, we found out that Aphrodite, the new goddess of Stardom champions, will be challenged by the Ueda Tai XL team of Natsukatora and Momo Watanabe. We will be having a 10-woman elimination tag match with the Queen's Quest team of Utami, Sayakamitani, Azumi, Lady C, Hina, and Miyu Amasaki. 12-woman, sorry, not 10-woman. I just can't count. Taking on the Ueda Tai team of Tora, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Ruaka, Rina, and of course Fukiken Death. It is, of course, a multi-woman, so you know the clown standing toward the end will be Fukiken Death. There is, of course, a show the day after, which is New Blood 12, which will be taking place on Christmas Day, but as of yet there hasn't been a card announcement for that yet. I imagine that we will be having a press conference relatively soon. They tend to be more or less a week or so before the shows, so we'll probably have a full card for that, hopefully, if not next week, definitely the week after. So yes, that is where we stand with year end climax. And just before I let Matt go on, in fact, Matt, do you want to talk very briefly about the Stardom in Bangkok video that Stardom posted on their YouTube page?
I sure do, sir. Let me just get to my notes. Here it is. Yeah, the Stardom in Bangkok show went up on YouTube, and I noticed it was only about 18 minutes long, give or take. So it was just clips. And I'm just kind of just going to just run through the four matches that happened. They had a little mini tournament. In the first round, it was Shuri defeating Waka with the grounded Suzaku. Again, there's not much context to it because it's all four of these matches are just clips. But I did want to make mention, and I mentioned this to Rob yesterday when we talked, this Bangkok crowd was absolutely molten hot, like very much like Corican Hall. And considering the fact that for a majority of these, maybe probably the last two pay-per-views, the crowds were kind of just like lukewarm and the matches were great. You know, the matches were great, but they really weren't making a ton of noise. Like literally Waka is the first person coming out and the crowd is chanting Waka Mania. Everybody's standing, nobody's sitting, everybody's over. And I thought, boy, this was kind of just to test the waters over somewhere overseas. I would love them to see do a pay-per-view over in Bangkok. Now, it looked like, if you watch the video, it looked like it was in the middle of like a mall, because I think it was only three sections you were able to sit in. There was one section where it was just the wall. So it looked like it was, I don't know how many people were there, but it looked absolutely jam-packed. And that was literally my first thought before even Waka and Shuri locked up. I was like, wow, they're chanting Waka Mania. And you can see Waka, so lovable, just like breaks character. Not like she's like this evil heel, but she starts like laughing and she's so happy to be wrestling overseas. And she didn't even do anything yet. And she's already insanely over with this crowd. And I would just love for Stardom to do maybe a big show or a pay-per-view over in Bangkok, because I can just imagine like how many people they would draw, how much money it would make, and where it would totally just expand the business for them. And again, how loud the crowd would be. I think that would be great. Match number two saw Mina Shirakawa defeating Yuna Mizumori with the implant DDT. For the shock of absolutely no one, Mina comes in and she's Mina, right? I mean, so charismatic, just the way she connects with the crowd. And I think Mina was the most over person on these four matches. I mean, Mina was just insanely over. The crowd absolutely loved her. And of course, her and Yuna just absolutely crushed each other. I mean, it was hard hitting. It was lariats. It was forearms. Ultimately, though, Mina gets the win over the implant DDT. So the main event of this show for their mini tournament is Shuri versus Mina Shirakawa. Match number three was two wrestlers that I'd never seen wrestle before that I believe are from the Bangkok area, where it was Jenny versus Machka, with Machka going over via the Boston Crab. Now, if you remember about 5 or 6 weeks ago, Rob, that Mina did make mention that she was recruiting somewhere overseas for new members of Club Venus. I almost said Cosmic Angels. Of Club Venus. I would not be shocked if Machka is going to be a new member of Club Venus, maybe come the beginning of next year. We shall see. But the main event did have Shuri and Mina Shirakawa in the finals. Again, just clips, but really, really good stuff back and forth. Both these ladies were really, really over, with Mina just being a little bit more over. But Shuri ultimately hits a huge head kick on Mina Shirakawa and then locks in the white tiger stretch muffler submission and gets the win and wins the tournament. And then we do see everybody pretty much as they're leaving. They all take a bow and everybody is just taking pictures. Everybody on their feet. The crowd was just absolutely molten hot. And I tell you what, Rob, when it comes to wrestling, and I've been watching wrestling a long time, when you talk about the best countries for wrestling, and maybe this is just me. Obviously, you have America. I'm from America. You have WWE, WWF, NWA, AEW, WCW, ECW, yada, yada, yada. So you have America. Obviously, my heart is in Japan. I love the Japanese wrestling. You have, you know, your country over there. England is a big country. We have Canada and Mexico as well. I always, when people talk about the biggest country for wrestling, those are always my go-to, right? Never thought I'd ever say, like, the Bangkok area would just, maybe, is that like a new hotbed for wrestling? I don't know. And obviously, this is a market that Stardom is trying to tap into. And hopefully, this is something that they do go back to, because I really think they could expand the Stardom business if they were to run more shows and big shows over there, maybe with some title matches or whatnot. So very interesting to see. But yeah, again, if you have not checked it out yet, go on YouTube, just type in Stardom Wrestling. It's one of the first videos that shows up. It says Stardom in Bangkok, because the crowd is absolutely molten hot for these matches.
Yeah, I've seen lots of good reactions to the crowd there, and I think that's particularly important when we get to talking about the show today, or the show from the second, should I say. I think if it's interesting, I know that Stardom have sort of talked about wanting to branch out and do other places in Asia and sort of lift the profile of professional wrestling around Asia. But obviously with the new direction of Bushiroad Fight, should I say, I do wonder how much they will invest in that over the next couple of years. It would be a shame if that changes, because obviously, like you've just said, the Bangkok crowd were absolutely loving it. And if Waka Tsukiyama is getting over, then I am more than happy. And you mentioned, obviously, Club Venus. Club Venus, of all the stables that have been hit with injuries and all sorts, Club Venus has got to be the worst. I mean, it's Mina Shirakawa at the moment on her own, because you got Wakara with injury, Mariah May is chasing Tony Storm in AEW, Zaya Brookside is no longer there. There's literally no one in that faction apart from Mina Shirakawa. So she needs someone, because I've got a feeling that 2024 is going to be big for Mina. It needs to be big for Mina. She needs to be highlighted, you know, like she was almost highlighted throughout this year before it was ended prematurely by Tam. So I feel like she needs people around her. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see new additions to Club Venus, even if it's not Machka. Just the final bit of news. We are officially announcing, and Matt doesn't know this yet, but he's probably guessed, the 4th annual Stardom Cast Awards. We do it every year, and basically it is just our little way of gaining a little bit of fan interaction and you getting your vote in for the most prestigious awards that happen on this podcast. Voting will open on the 30th of December, the day after the Ryogoku Koku Gikan show, simply because we know there's going to be Match of the Year candidates that happen at that show. I sincerely doubt that that main event is going to be poor. I fully expect that to blow the doors off. So we wanted to give as much time as we possibly could for all of these shows. There are 7 categories overall: Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Tag Match of the Year, Show of the Year, Most Improved of the Year, Moment of the Year, and faction of the year. So all of those categories, you will be able to find all of the links and things on our social media when it goes live on the 30th of December. Again, every single one, you will only be able to vote for one thing per category. I'm really intrigued to see what the votes are going to go for in terms of things like moment of the year. Because obviously, you know, ordinarily we get things like, you know, Suzu Suzuki wins the 5-star Grand Prix. But there have been some really interesting moments. Maybe not blow away moments, but Tam dethroning Julia for the red belt, Mercedes Moné turning up in Stardom. There have still been some really, really cool moments for the company, in spite of, you know, the negativity that seems to be weighing it down at the moment, especially on social media. There have been some really, really cool moments. So, you know, I'm really excited to see what we get out of that. Matt, I will, of course, ask you for your votes when we do our... when we do our review of Dream Queendom. At the moment, I am not 100% sure when we are going to close the vote. We do usually give people about a week to vote, which will make it the 5th of December, which means that the 10th will be when we do our award ceremony, so to speak, which is fitting, because it's just after, it's the week, I believe, after Stardom do their award show. Something that I did notice, and I was going to do this in the Nagoya Big Winter review, but I thought it was important. If you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, obviously you won't have heard this, but I wanted to bring it onto the free podcast because it was really interesting. We were talking, I think it was last week, Matt, about the Triangle Derby, which, for those that don't know, is one of Stardom's four annual tournaments. It's the newest one, only started this year, and it's basically their six-woman tournament. It's a round-robin, two blocks, the same sort of format as your tag league. But we had, throughout the Nagoya Big Winter Show, we had shows that ran all the way through to February, and there was no mention of the Triangle Derby. Now, we speculated on one of the podcasts on Patreon about how that could possibly be because of the raft of injuries that we've had, and they literally can't field enough teams for a tournament. Whether that is because the new edict is to start to try and cut down the schedule, maybe the Triangle Derby has been a casualty of that. One thing I did think was really interesting, and the reason I wanted to bring it onto the free podcast, is Matt's idea for how he would book the Triangle Derby. Because what you did, Matt, I thought was really interesting, in that not only did you shorten the schedule, you also bought something important to Corican Hall, which we saw from the last Corican Hall show. You know, you put something important and people will come. So I'd like you to tell people what your idea would be for the Triangle Derby.
My idea, and I may have, kind of maybe modified it a little bit from when we talked about a week or so ago, Rob. So if I get off kilter, just, you know, steer me back onto the road. But my idea was, you have eight teams and you run it like a single elimination tournament, like you do the Cinderella tournament. Obviously, you don't do the over the top rope. It's pinfall submission or it's a wet tie. So you got to throw the DQ and the countouts, because countouts rule, man. And you run this on a Friday, Saturday, or a Saturday, Sunday, two-night tournament. So what you do is you have your first round matches, you know, so you'll have the four matches, and then you'll do your semifinals and finals on the next night. As far as how I would run tickets, it'd basically be, here's your single price ticket, here's your two price ticket. If you buy both of them, you get, you know, $10 off, $15 off. That's what I would do. Would I do this on pay-per-view? No, I wouldn't. Here's the reasons why. Stardom has so many great ways for them to make revenue other than on pay-per-view. I would put night one on YouTube, and I would do it as a YouTube live stream, like how they do for their New Blood shows, right? So then you have, by the time you get to the next night, you have your semifinals and final set. And then what I would do is, if you want to watch that final night, because we're, again, Stardom is well over a million subscribers on their YouTube channel. So I'm assuming you're going to get a ton of views on this within the first 24 hours. So if you watch this, and if you're a casual watcher of Stardom, if you're like, hey, I've heard, you know, people talk about this Stardom promotion, I hear it's great, I'm going to tune into this. It's free on YouTube. And you're getting not only four matches, but you're getting three people or six people in each match. So you're going to see, say, Shuri, Mirai, and Ami Sori versus Tora, Kid, and Momo. I'm just using that as an example. You're like, wow, these are absolutely great. So now how do I watch this? Okay, I know what the semifinals are, and that's leading into the finals. We're having it on the same night. How do I watch it? Is it going to be on pay-per-view? No, what you're going to do is, instead of spending the $30-some-odd on pay-per-view, which is fine because the Stardom pay-per-views are always well worth the money, you're going to put the night two up on Stardom World. And I know it might be a little bit of delay. So maybe is that there's a 10 to 12, 18-hour delay or whatever. And I know the fantastic people over at Stardom World, they are working their butts off and they are doing a fantastic job. And I think I speak for myself, Rob, and all the Stardom community when I say thank you. You guys are doing a fantastic job over there on Stardom World. So I then say, here's what's going to happen. Again, night one, free on YouTube. You want to see who wins the semifinals and the finals, plus, you know, some other last minute matches, because you don't know going into that final night who's going to be in the finals. You're going to have to go to Stardom World, subscribe for the month. It's less than $7. And then you hook them in that way. And then you figure, well, if I already have this app for another 28, 29 days, let me see what else is on it. And then you're going to hook more people, because how are you not going to watch a, you know, Mirai versus Momo match and absolutely love it? Or how are you not with Io Shirai drawing well over 2 million views each segment she does on SmackDown? How are you going to not go back and watch an Io versus Momo or an Io versus Mayu match and say, I am hooked to the Stardom, and it's less than $7 a month. I'm going to keep it here. So that's exactly what I would do. I'd run it as a 2-night tournament, no pay-per-views, night one free on YouTube, night two on Stardom World. And run them both at Corican Hall and a single elimination tournament.
Yeah, I love the idea. And there's several reasons why I like the idea. Firstly, you're not losing that tournament if you want to keep four tournaments. It does not need to be a round robin, though, especially if you're trying to cut down the schedule significantly. That's one way of doing it. You've gone from, I think it was 12 nights or something, the Triangle Derby, you've cut it down to two. The second reason I like it is because you are giving Corican Hall something. And in the wake of pay-per-views moving to bigger buildings, which obviously I don't begrudge Stardom in the slightest, you are still giving something to Corican Hall. You are still making it more than just another venue, which is what I was worried about when the attendances started to slip, because it began to feel like another house show venue. It began to feel like another, you know, just picking a venue out of Shinkiba First Ring, or it started to feel like, you know, just a random venue rather than Corican Hall, you know, where Stardom, you know, big bits of Stardom history has happened. So give those shows something. Don't make them just your house shows. Give them something important, and that's what it does there. I do like the idea of the YouTube streaming. They've shown they can do that with the New Blood shows. And yeah, if it's going to hook more revenue in, then why the hell not? And then, of course, you can have the winners go for the Artist of Stardom Championships, which, of course, is another Corican Hall main event. And I've always said that in 2021, the Cosmic Angels team of Tam, Mina, and Unagi did a great job of elevating those belts. And I don't mean elevating as in like they were just complete trash. No, of course they weren't. But the main event of Corican, I think it was the main event of something like four consecutive Corican Hall shows or something. And every match was really, really, really good. And it just gave Corican Hall something. And I feel like that's what it needs to just remain special, and more importantly, to keep attendances high in that very special venue. Let's move on then to our actual show review. Stardom ran their pay-per-view Nagoya Big Winter 2023 on the 2nd of December in the Aichi Prefectorial Gymnasium in Nagoya, Aichi, Japan. Getting a little bit of negativity out of the way, just to start off with, speaking of the attendance, it's the lowest attendance of any company at the venue all year. There have been six shows this year: New Japan, Dragon Gate, and Stardom. Dragon Gate ran their Dead or Alive show, which is obviously a big show in the Dragon Gate calendar. I think that drew 2,000 and something. I know New Japan have drawn 2,000, I think, into 3,000 at the venue as well. Speaking of just Stardom shows, this is the second show that they've ran in Nagoya. The last one was Nagoya Golden Fight in October, and it's down 27.6% from that show. I think they drew 1,300, sorry, to that show. So on the face of it, it's not a great number. I don't think anyone is pretending that it isn't a disappointing number. There are many reasons as to why this could have happened. You know, again, we aren't that far removed from the last pay-per-view in Nagoya. There was no Tam, there's no Mayu, there's no Natsupoi, there's no red belt match, there's no white belt match, and the card was only announced a week or so in advance. I think the press conference was 2 weeks before the show. So, you know, and obviously we talked about it in the news segment, all this fallout from Bushiroad fight. There was obviously a lot of disgruntled people. So I'm wondering if all of those sort of came together to sort of hamstring this show before it was even really able to flourish. Because ultimately, this show was very good. Like, those last three matches, the New Japan Strong Women's Championship match, the Goddess of Stardom title match, and the World of Stardom Rights Challenge match were all fantastic matches, all really, really good matches. And I do think that Suzu versus Hazuki is a pay-per-view-worthy main event, but the numbers don't necessarily belay that. What do you think, Matt? What do you think are the reasons behind the poor number? Do you think it's a combination of all of the reasons? Do you think it's something completely different? What do you think? Remember Chuck Norris? The man so strong that he birthed an entire category of jokes about his unparalleled strength. We all have a favourite joke, right? Chuck Norris can do a wheelie on a unicycle. Some people are afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris makes onions cry in the evergreen. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he's pushing the earth down. Have you ever wondered what happened to him? Well, I recently saw a video of the now 84-year-old Chuck Norris, and let me tell you, he still looks like he can beat the sun in a staring contest. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. In fact, he still says he feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has more energy than an Izumi and Starlight Kid high-speed match. Many of us, myself included, do not include the necessary fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. And it's a lingering problem for a lot of us. And actually, I don't mind telling you that my stomach feels like it's been on the receiving end of a Hazuki pump kick on more than one occasion because of it. However, Chuck Norris has made a special video that explains how he has incorporated these things with just one simple product. And you can watch it now by going to mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. And now, back to this week's episode.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. noom.com and check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You mentioned the number, Rob. What is the number?
Did I not say?
No, sir.
952 people.
Okay. Yeah, obviously, they, you know, with these shows, they want to do over 1,000. A lot of it you mentioned, my friend. Obviously, no red belt, no white belt, no Tam, and no Mayu. And it's, I think we're really starting to see just how huge of a draw Tam is. I mean, when Tam was again, and obviously we talked about this, and I don't want to go, you know, beat this drum forever. When Tam beat Julie, we were all kind of like scratching our heads. Even me, who's the biggest Tam fan in the world, but like, wow, they ended Julia's reign that quick. And from what the reports we were getting and a lot of things we were hearing, is like, no, they view Bushiroad views Tam as a huge, huge star and a huge ticket seller. I mean, you look at all those Cork and Hall shows during the 5-star Grand Prix. Now, granted, obviously she was not defending the World of Stardom Championship, but they were all sellouts. I mean, that match that she had with Mayu that went to the time limit draw, that was main evented with Utami versus Izumi, I think it had like 1,500 people in Cork and Hall, which was like the largest draw Cork and Hall had in a long, long time. So it just goes to show just really what a huge, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with there's no Tam. It really just goes to show just what a big star that Tam is. And I kind of just want to just talk about this, my friend, because it's literally, this news dropped hours after we recorded last week, which seems to be what always happens, is Tam tweeted out for the first time in a long time, kind of a cryptic tweet, but basically saying, hey, I'm here. I'm not sure what I'm going to want to do. And I know it was reported earlier by, you know, the Wrestling Observer and a couple other sections, but Tam was thinking about retiring. And the tweet came out and I got tagged in it very quickly. I translated it. I copy and paste it. By translated, I hit Google Translate. I copy and paste it, send it to you. And me and you were kind of just going back and forth of, you know, what we think this tweet means and what's going on with Tam's future. My thing was, here's the deal. Stardom needs Tam. They do. Tam, I don't think, and they, as low as that roster is, Tam's a big star. I think they need her to help boost ticket sales and whatnot. And again, I don't think anybody can argue that Tam's a huge star. My thing is, and I said this to you, and we were kind of going back and forth, and like, that's why I kind of just want to put this on air. I think Tam needs Stardom as well. Tam is somebody that likes the spotlight. She really, really does, whether it's the wrestling, whether it's the stuff with Meltier. And I think she just got burnt out. She was chasing that Wonder of Stardom Championship for years, years. And then in 2021, she finally got it. And then after she dropped it, then she started chasing the red belt. And in between the red belt, the whole stuff with Natsupoi, the Gods of Stardom Championships, the Meltier stuff, like putting out the album, doing the touring for the album, doing the press conference for the album, doing the press conference for Stardom. I think finally she just got burnt out. And I think the fact that she has not been on TV or wasn't at the press conference when they surrendered the World of Stardom Championship, I think Tam is going to miss that. Again, it's that old saying, how could I miss you if you don't go away? I know I'm kind of getting off on a tangent here, but I just kind of just want to bring this out in the podcast. I think Tam eventually is going to realize that she wants to be kind of back in the limelight and the spotlight. And she doesn't have to do that from a main event status. She really doesn't. So I don't think Tam is going to retire because of that reason. As long as she's healthy enough to continue, I think we'll see Tam back in Stardom in early 2024. So kind of my long way of answering that question, my friend. I think it's a combination of a lot of those things, but no Tam and no Mayu is my is my opinion why this didn't do 12 or 1300.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if we'll hold off announcing the Dream Queendom card until we've got a definitive answer, especially around Mayu. You know, no disrespect at all to Tam or to Natsupoi, but Mayu is, you know, the linchpin of the company, and I feel like they will want to wait as long as they possibly can to make sure that she is going to be fit for that card, and hopefully, because, you know, she's awesome, she deserves the opportunity as well. So what I'll do is I'll run through these matches and then we'll talk in detail about them. So we opened the pre-show with a tag team match, Hanako and Miyu Amasaki defeating the team of Mina Shirakawa and Yuzuki, with Miyu pinning Yuzuki with the Tenzai in 8 minutes and 24 seconds. We opened the pay-per-view proper with a singles match. Mei Sakurai defeating Ruaka in 5 minutes and 27 seconds with the Maipan roll. Tag team action next as the Cosmic Angels team of Sayori Anno and Yuna Mizumori defeated the Stars team of Hanan and Saya Iida in 7 minutes and 6 seconds. Sayori Anno pinning Hanan, not Saya Iida. Get in! With the Tantan doll, which is her name for the Perfectplex. We then had our first championship match, the high-speed title on the line. Mei Sayra retaining the belt, defeating Tekla in 8 minutes and 5 seconds with the La Magistral Cradle. We then had 6-woman tag match action. The Uedatai team of Momo Watanabe, Natsuka Tora, and Starlight Kid defeating the God's Eye team of Shiori Mirai and Amisori. Tora pinning Amisori in 9 minutes and 9 seconds with the Swanton Bomb. We then had our UWF rules match with Nanai Takahashi inevitably defeating the Scandinavian Hurricane Alice Inc. via TKO with the spinning back elbow in 7 minutes and 21 seconds. And then we get our run of 3 title matches. The New Japan Strong Women's title match, Julia, the champion, defended successfully against Azumi, pinning her with the Northern Lights Bomb in 12 minutes and 56 seconds. The vacant Goddesses of Stardom championships were on the line as Aphrodite, Saya Kamatani, and Utami Hayashishita defeated the Divine Kingdom team of Micah and Megan Bain in 13 minutes and 8 seconds. Utami getting the pin over Megan Bain with a bridging German suplex. And then in your main event, the World of Stardom title right challenge match, Suzu Suzuki defeated Hazuki with the bridging German suplex in 14 minutes and 16 seconds. So, a couple of things to note. I know that we started on a sort of a negative note with the attendance and the numbers. I do just want to point out that this show was really, really fun to watch. It also breezed by because none of these matches surpassed 15 minutes. Like, not one of them. The longest match is your main event at 14 minutes and 16 seconds, which is quite unbelievable, really, because the show was able to cram in 9 matches into 2.5 hours, which was the runtime, including a spiel at the start and including the typical announcer breakdown at the end as well. So really, really, really quick stuff from Stardom. Matt, let's start at the very beginning, because in the words of Mary Poppins, it's a very good place to start. It's not Mary Poppins, it's Sound of Music. Ignore me. Mei Sakurai and Ruaka. We talked a little bit about New Blood and how we thought it best to bring up the hype of the crowd with a hot match. Now, Mei Sakurai is one of the hotter talents on the Stardom sort of mid-card, I would argue. However, putting her against Ruaka, I'm not entirely sure this was a pay-per-view-worthy singles bout, was it, Matt?
No, I would have put the second match on. I believe I texted you saying that obviously these last 3 matches are really good, but you want to talk about pay-per-view hidden gems. Obviously, we'll talk about it in a moment here with the Cosmic Angels versus Wingori. But not only that, you only had 5 minutes to tell your story. It was kind of like they went in there, they did what they needed to do. Mei Sakurai did her shtick. She was over with her shtick, and then she pins Ruaka with a roll-up. Like, if you're going to, like, no disrespect to Ruaka, but, like, you don't need to protect Ruaka in the opener with a roll-up. Just have Mei Sakurai go over with the elbow drop or the cord buster or something. But instead, it was like she did a roll-up in 5.5 minutes. So I was like, all right, you know, it was what it was. They, you know, they worked hard. You know, don't get me wrong. Everybody on this roster does. It's why it's the best roster in all of wrestling. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of, okay, maybe they just want to get Mei Sakurai out there, you know, in less than 6 minutes so she can do her shtick in front of the crowd and do the promo, because everybody likes seeing Mei Sakurai. So that's kind of just my opinion on it, sir. And I just gave it the gentleman's 3 stars.
Yeah, I gave it straight down the middle, 2.5. You know, it was fine. Neither women did anything wrong. It was just, it felt a bit flat. And, you know, in truth, until those last, 2 matches, maybe 3, the crowd were dead silent. I thought you could hear a pin drop during that UWF rules match. They weren't the loudest crowd by any stretch of the imagination, but I do understand putting Mei Sakurai on first because she is over. Her shtick is very funny. And I know that obviously it's a lot of crowd interaction. If you're going to put Mei Sakurai on, I feel like she needed either a different opponent than Ruaka, no disrespect to Ruaka, you know, maybe a Miyu Amasaki, for example. I think that could have been a better match or a more hot opener. Or, like you said, Matt, maybe put on the Cosmic Angels and Stars match first. So the first thing you hear is Hanan's dreadful theme. which will immediately just ruin everyone's day.
I love it.
But you know,
so bitter.
I am so bitter. But it's more of a hot opener, and then you can go into Mei Sakurai versus Ruaka to give everyone that chance to see Mei Sakurai's shtick. Ultimately, as I've said, I don't think it was a majorly pay-per-view worthy singles bout, but it was there. It did what it needed to do. Mei Sakurai is over with the crowd. It's one of the better gimmicks on the mid-card and undercard, so it's fine. It was there. Cosmic Angels and Stars then, Matt. First of all, Wingori coming out with their tag titles. I can't wait to see them defend them. And Hanan, the one to take the pinfall, not Sayahida. Sayahida to challenge for the red belt, confirm, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the reason why, as much as we love Sayahida, and we do, again, we have an agenda on this podcast, several agendas. One is to be entertaining, and two is to hashtag push Sayahida, is I think because Hanan is the bigger star of the two, and then we saw Sayori get a clean win over, and then we find out why, because, and we'll get into it, because she challenges Mirai. But I know when Sayori Poi, Soriano Natsupoi, had to be vacant the titles, I had a lot of people tweeting at me saying, don't you think Sayori Anu should, because she's not the one that's injured. Like, I understand. Don't you think that she should get a tag title shot somewhere down the future? And I was like, absolutely. Well, Poi's injured. We don't know what Tam's doing. Her team with Yunin, I mentioned this on before, where they kind of threw them together just at some random, like, you know, quote unquote house shows. And they put on banger of matches. And considering the fact that, spoilers for what we're going to be talking about 5 minutes, considering the fact that Aphrodite, Saya Kamatani, and Utami Aishisa are the Goddess of Stardom champions, I would love to see Sayori and Yuna Mizumori get a tag title shot against Aphrodite. Now, obviously, we know Yuna will be eating that pinfall, but at the same time, you're going to highlight, and you can do it as a main event of the Korakuen Hall show. You know, we mentioned give Korakuen something special each and every show. Who wouldn't want to see that match? And again, you're basically rewarding Yuna Mizumori for all the hard work she's done in Stardom this past year to get to that spot. So you give her a main event of a Korakuen Hall show against, you know, two main eventers like Utami and Saya Kamatani for the Goddess of Stardom Championship. So I totally agree that Soriano definitely deserves a tag title shot because she's not the one that got injured, but understand how it goes. But if she's going to get one before Natsupoi comes back, have her team with Yuna, because these two are great. Obviously, Wingori, we've known this for years. They're fantastic together. I loved how the match started out with the two of them because they're the more veteran team. They've teamed up the longest and more times than Sayori and Yuna Mizumori. How they're able to get the advantage early on in this match by doing some double team work. Yuna and Sayahida are just absolutely destroying each other. It's like lariat, chop, form, just hard-hitting action. And I love it how Sayori Anu and Yuna Mizumori, they kind of do two of their big moves like back-to-back, where Yuna will hit the sliding lariat and the opponent will roll from the cell and Sayori Anu will hit a German suplex, or vice versa. Sayori Anu will do a released German suplex and she throws such a great bridge, like almost like Toyota-style bridge on that German suplex. And when they take the bump and they kind of bump on their butt, Yuna just comes right off with a huge running lariat. So I love how those two, how they work. But ultimately, it really comes down to Hanan and Sayori Anu. And here's a singles match that I didn't know that I wanted, that I needed in 2024. That's basically what the last, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes happens. And we just really see some really good stuff with Hanan and Sayori Anu back and forth. But eventually it ends with a Tom's Tantra onto Hanan for the three count. Now, yeah, like yeah, I was shocked. I figured either Yuna would have ate the pinfall or Sayahida would have ate the pinfall. So I was shocked that that's how, you know, this match ended. But again, this is one of the better undercard pay-per-view matches in all of Stardom for the year. I thoroughly enjoyed this. The fact they were able to do this, tell a story, all in about 7 minutes. Bravo to all four of these ladies. 3 3/4 stars for me, sir.
Yeah, it was certainly an entertaining undercard tag match. It's what Stardom do. You want to highlight people like Wingori, because in this age where you are trying to push younger stars, I think Hannan and Sayurida could be linchpins to that. Sioriano had to be the star because of where you're going later on in the night, and rightly so. I do agree with that she does deserve a tag title shot further down the line, and I do feel sorry for her, the fact that she was sort of forced to vacate the titles because of Poi's injury. But ultimately, it's a case of, well, do you give her another partner, in which case you've just given a title to someone else, or do you agree with the vacation, you wait for Natsupoi to come back, or do you have Sioriano tag with someone else in the vacant title? I understand that. I think, you know, Anno's got her eye on the white belt, so it's not necessarily her highest priority at the moment anyway. But should she come out on the losing end at Dream Queendom, I'm sure that we will see whoever comes out of Dream Queendom as the tag champions, they will be defending against Sioriano sooner rather than later. Now, the high-speed title match, Meiseira and Tekla. Meiseira, 24th champion. She does achieve her second successful title defense, her reign at 54 days. Now, the most important thing, Matt, is Rossi Vice. Now, for those who don't know what Rossi Vice is, Rossi Ogawa might be the most suave-dressed gentleman in the history of the world. And what me and Matt have noticed over the course of our last two sort of alternate commentaries is that, first of all, the man is immaculately dressed, and secondly, that he will dress to match the belt. So what we are going to do is we are going to look and check how many times Rossi Ogawa dresses to match the belt. Now, Matt Turner, I am currently looking at a picture of Rossi Ogawa holding the high-speed championship next to Tekla, who looks $1 million, by the way, in that pink fur coat. Looks incredible. And Meiseira, the champion who has new gear, also looks incredible. And I am looking at this image, and I must admit, with the hat and the suit, the matching hat and suit, by the way, it does look like he's attempted to color-coordinate with the plates of the belt.
That's absolutely genius. Now, I'm looking at a picture here, my friend, of the, in my opinion, the greatest Wonder of Stardom Championship match with Hazuki and Saya Kamatani from earlier this year. And it's the same thing. It's just the shirt. Now, he can change the hat. He can change the shirt. He can change the overcoat, or he can change the tie. So considering the fact that obviously at Dream Queendom, we have at least three championship matches on the card that were already announced. So he's going to have a red hat, a red tie, a white hat, a white tie, a black overcoat. I don't know, buddy. But now, considering the fact that, let's RIP Rip Flirty Hazuki. We have not seen Flirty Hazuki in a while, which, again, for our new listeners, is that it seemed like Hazuki, when she was high-speed champion, or when she would get a couple title shots when she first came back in 2021, when they're doing the entrance, Hazuki would put her arm or her elbow on Rossi's shoulder, put her arm around Rossi like she was flirting with him. We have not seen that from Hazuki in about a year. Now she's just murder mode, Hazuki mode, which we all love. So considering the fact that Flirty Hazuki may not be RIP, like maybe she's just on hold for now, the new thing that we'll be looking for, as if we need to add more cool stuff to these Stardom Championship matches, is will Rossi Vice be matching some way, some form to these championship belts, especially these pay-per-views, Rob, where he has more than one championship. Here's something else I'm just thinking in my demented brain. His glasses as well. He can change the frames. Maybe a red frame or a white frame. Oh my goodness, my friend. Look out. Rossi Vice, here we go.
I mean, you might be wondering why Rossi Vice. It's simply because when he sort of held on the white belt during the Mariah Momo Watanabe defense, he was wearing an all-white suit and hat, and he just looked like something out of Miami Vice. So Rossi Vice was born. Coming soon to our T-shirt store. this match, then, obviously Tekla's second opportunity at the high-speed belt. I thought she did a really good job. I thought these two had really good chemistry, and I was really getting into the match. They really seemed to be getting into their stride when it just ended, which was incredibly disappointing in some regards, because again, I feel like if you'd have given these two, this was the only match I thought that could have benefited from maybe two more minutes. I think all the others were snappy and they were better for it. This one I felt could have done with maybe two more minutes, take it up to 10 minutes, and just give Tekla a little bit more offense. May Sayre, fantastic. Tekla took a horrible bump, by the way, when she did her sort of posing in the ropes and May Sayre drop kicked her out. She landed right on her coccyx on the outside. It looked brutal. Hopefully she's all good. I think she's fine, but looked horrible. But all in all, it was a great match. Just a little bit of a disappointing ending, Matt.
Yeah, considering, I know the high-speed championship matches are different, but when you think of title matches, not just here, just in wrestling, you're usually building towards a finish where you're getting like a falsie or someone's going to tease one of their big moves, especially on pay-per-view. So literally, I was just writing my notes down, and I literally wrote, I saw that May was going for the Lamai Straw, hooked it, started rolling with, and I literally write, May goes for Lamai Straw Cradle, and then it went to three, and I was like, and gets three, and that's legit the note I'm looking at right now. I was like, oh. Okay, yeah, the match was just building, and instead of getting to that next level, we just went right home. I was like, okay, all right, yeah, it was good. Tekla, her new gear looks fantastic. She looks in the best shape ever, and she's always been in shape since she started in Stardom. She's really doing a great job connecting with the audience on certain things she's doing. May Sayre is absolutely fantastic on every single level, and maybe a contender for, like, you know, undercard MVP for Stardom, just everything that she's done. But yeah, it's kind of like, oh. All right. Again, good enough match. 3.5 stars, but I agree with you, buddy. This would have been right around the 4-star mark. 4-star mark had this went to about 10 and a half minutes.
Yeah, and obviously Tekla's proved that she can hang with the best of them. I gave it 3.25. I enjoyed the match. I thought the two had really good chemistry. May Sayre is a star. She really is. She's, again, been one of the biggest highlights of this year for me, alongside Suzu Suzuki. I think they've both done really, really well. This six-woman tag then, the Awedesai versus God's Eye match, this was hard-hitting, to say the very, very least, Matt.
Yeah, this is really good. And literally you have Shiri and Momo Watanabe just literally trading kicks. And I'm like, this is what I love, every aspect of wrestling. But this hard hitting wrestling where they're just teeing off. Who wants it more? I had flashbacks, and I'm sure everybody else did, of their finals in the 2021 5-star Grand Prix, and one of the best matches in Stardom history. The one thing, obviously, Mirai was great here. Ami Sori was great. And we mentioned on the show last week, are we going to start getting some direction for what the Wonder of Stardom championship match is going to be for Dream Queendom? Obviously, we'll talk about that in a moment. But the way this match was building, with Starlight Kid getting so much over on Mirai, and I was thinking, is Starlight Kid maybe going to get a win here over Mirai and then challenge her for the Wonder of Stardom championship match at Dream Queendom? That's where I thought they were going halfway through this match. Obviously, it didn't happen, and I would have obviously been, yes, absolutely, give me another Starlight Kid Wonder of Stardom challenge match. And Mariah has done a phenomenal job building up the Wonder of Stardom championship in the short time that she had it. Natsuko Tora was great here as well. Her and they did a great job, too, highlighting towards the end that it took double teamwork from Momo Watanabe and the XL team. Really, basically, is what did in Ami Sori for the pinfall, which makes sense for what we're going to talk about here in just a few moments, because it was really seemed like it was the teamwork of Momo and Tora that was the highlight of this match after Shuri and Momo, you know, kicked the crap out of each other. I thought this was great, hard hitting. You know, you literally have, no disrespect to the other members of God's Eye of Awedesai, you literally have your A squad of Awedesai and A squad of God's Eye just going in and going at it for around 10 minutes. Solid, another solid match. I had this one at 3 3/4 stars, my friend.
Yeah, I had it at 3.5. I thought it was really, really entertaining. I think both undercard tag matches were really good and did well to set up further sort of challenges further down the line, which I do think that the New Blood tag titles from Wingori are going to be defended on this New Blood show on Christmas Day. Wouldn't surprise me if it's Yuna who challenges alongside someone else. That'd be quite interesting, quite a cool way to go as well. Now, the UWF match. Now, I will say, I was really enjoying this. I was enjoying the roughness of it, the genuine fight feel. I thought Alice Inc. looked very strong throughout, was the main aggressor, certainly, of the match, which is why it's ever so puzzling that Nanai Takahashi came out on top. I'm not entirely sure what Nanai gets from winning this, especially as the very next night, Alice Inc. would join God's Eye as their newest member. And obviously you want to keep her strong, yet her two high-profile matches, she's lost. And I know that you can say that obviously it was a chance spin back elbow. So, you know, it was sort of out of nowhere, to paraphrase Randy Orton. And that was why it took her by surprise. And it was sort of a flailing arm from Nanai more than anything else. It just, the result doesn't sit right with me. And I know that obviously you're looking at the scores at the end of the match, and Nanai had used two of her sort of breaks or had been floored twice. She was on 3 points and Alice Inc. hadn't lost a point. She was still on five. But I don't know. I feel like Alice Inc. could have really, really benefited from beating Nanai Takahashi, who, let's be honest, isn't a full-time member of the Stardom roster, so doesn't really gain anything from the victory anyway. But you're already committed to having Alice Inc. join God's Eye the next day. Why not have her win here? It didn't really make a lot of sense for me. And I know you predicted Nanai to win, Matt. Am I just talking nonsense, or do you at least see where I'm coming from?
Brother, I know we only got about 20 minutes before you got a roll, so let's just say everything that you said I agree with and move on to the next one.
Really? What did you give
it? I gave it 3.5 stars basically because Alice Inc. was fantastic in this match, and I am thrilled that she is joining Shuri's God's Eye, because Shuri and Alice Inc. as a tag team, if you're not going to bring back Tomoka, or if you're going to bring back Tomoka Inaba, bring her back with her sister as their team. But yeah, that's that.
Yeah. The less said about it, the better. Julia, the second New Japan Strong Women's Champion, got her sixth successful title defense and carries on her reign of 151 days, defeating Azumi with the Northern Lights bomb. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this match for a multitude of reasons. Not only because both women are fantastic, not only because Azumi looks absolutely killer in her new gear, Julia looking killer with her new hair, but because Julia forced something else out of Azumi, which I loved. You got your stereotypical high-speed Azumi, and then partway through the match, Julia just stopped and was like, nah, I'm not doing this, and got a little rougher with Azumi, and Azumi snapped, and I am all here for that. I am all here for that side of Azumi, because obviously we've seen how Starlight Kid has graduated from the high speed division and sort of now has her own little niche, you know, working the legs to hit the Black Tiger leg killer and things like that. I love aggressive Azumi, sort of channeling the tuition of Momo Watanabe, really laying in those kicks, screaming in anger at Julia, and it properly takes Julia by surprise as well. Loved it, Matt.
Yeah, there was, you know, we talk about Azumi. She's so good at everything, and she's a very, very good underrated striker, especially those kicks to the head that she throws. And she was trying to go shot for shot with Julia. And there's one point where when Azumi, you know, when she's firing up and she's yelling, you see her mouth all busted open. I don't know if it was her tongue or her lip or whatever, but Julia wind up busting Azumi open with something. And Azumi just throws, again, she throws some really good underrated strikes, but this was by far her best striking match that she's had, because she's trying to hang in there with Julia. And credit to Julia, because if you look at the psychology of this match, when Azumi hits the La Mystica, really any big moves that she does, she goes to the arm, which Azumi did not go to the arm at all in this match. And Julia almost, because of forcing the striking and forcing the super aggressive Azumi, forces her to wrestle almost a different style, where it's just like, no, I don't want to go after Julia's arm. She's trying to take my head off. I'm trying to take her head off. So I really, really enjoyed that. I'm like, oh, she's not going to the arm. I'm like, oh, it makes sense. And Julia's forcing her to throw her off the game, because Julia's like, I can't really hang with her. If she pulls my arm, or she builds up the arm work or the high-speed arm work, that's going to play into Azumi's wheelhouse. So I'm going to force her into a strike fest. And it brings up Izumi's striking game so much in this. And then we see this fantastic finish where we see Izumi hitting two Canadian destroyers into the double Izumi sushi that we've seen her beat Micah with, Himeka with, Utami with on the five stars in years past. So I really bid on that finish, even though I thought Julia was going to retain. I was like, oh, maybe they're switching the belt here. And then you get towards the end where Julia then is just start dropping Izumi on her head. She goes for the Northern Lights bomb. Izumi is able to counter, get out of it. And that's where she did the Canadian Destroyer. Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself. But then Izumi is so fired up that she kind of goes off her strategy, because now she really wants to take off Julia's head. And she just runs right at Julia, and Julia hoists her up. And the Northern Lights bomb was like, I literally gave you the opening so you can try to make a mistake. And that's exactly what you did here. As seasoned as Izumi is, been wrestling since she was 11, she's never really wrestled in those big, big, big matches as much as Julia has. And Julia just has that one little opening where she throws Izumi off her game, and Izumi runs right into Julia's finish. A phenomenal match. I had this at 4.25 stars. I thought this was terrific. And Izumi came off as such a huge star. And now we're seeing super aggressive Izumi to add in to what she already has. I don't need to tell anybody. No surprise here. I'm a ginormous fan of Izumi. And I'm super excited to now see super aggressive striking Izumi throwing in that into her already impressive offensive arsenal partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you on the rating. I had it at 4.25 stars, my second highest rated match of the night. I thought this was really, really, and the fact that they were able to cram it into 13 minutes as well, really, really good stuff. The tag title match, I mean, what is there to say? The 30th Goddess of Stardom champions, Aphrodite, become only the second ever team to win the belt more than once. Matt, can you name the first team to do that?
First team to win the belts more than once, was that the team of, it was, oh my goodness, I should know this. I knew this. I literally have it written down. Who was it, for the sake of time?
Fukuoka Double Crazy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did it in the same year. Yeah, 2022. That's right.
Sai Kamatani moves to her second reign, Utami onto her third. And we talk about aura and star power in Julia's entrance, for example. Good grief. That entrance with Saya and Utami, Utami carrying the flag, Saya Kamatani back with her arms outstretched. And I love the Micah and Megan Bain entrance. The Divine Kingdom entrance was one of my favorite things of the entire tag league. But this right here, this was all about Aphrodite. And my God, did they feel huge in this match, Matt.
Yeah, and I believe this is the first pinfall loss from Divine Kingdom. I think they only lost one match in the tag league to Eye Contact via countout. And that's obviously a match I would love to see, Mayu and Han versus Aphrodite. But the psychologist match was very, very simple. You're trying to keep Micah as strong as possible. Obviously, she's in the main event of your year-end show. So, and you're trying to make Aphrodite a more cohesive unit to show everybody that, yes, they are back. Not only from injury, but from the dissension that they had earlier in the year. So anytime Saya would get in trouble from these double teams or just getting just destroyed by Megan Bain, Utami would come in for the save. And then Utami would come in. She'd come in a house of fire. She'd get cut off. She'd be getting hit with suplex and the powerbomb and this, that, and everything. And then Saya would come in and make the save. And ultimately, it was just the teamwork of Saya and Utami. You saw that Utami almost took the Doomsday device from Divine Kingdom. Saya comes in, makes the save. Micah throws an inapparent lariat to hit Megan Bain. And what a beautiful sight that is to see Utami, who throws a great German suplex on such somebody that's one of the bigger wrestlers in Stardom. Like, what a great finish. Like, I thought it was a perfect finish because it almost came out of nowhere. And it not only puts over Utami's German suplex that she can hit on anybody, and it could be the end of the match by pinning somebody who hasn't eaten many pinfalls in Stardom and Megan Bain, but it also puts over Micah's 360 lariat because that was the conduit that led to the German suplex. Really simple story. Great stuff here. Great way for them to start off their tag title reign. I had this at the solid 4 stars.
Exactly the same. I thought Utami, not only on offense, but on defense as well. There was a moment where Megan Payne drops her with a suplex, and the way she holds her neck, especially knowing that she has been out with a neck injury, you're like, oh my God, please no, please no. But it was just beautiful selling. Sai Kamatani, who came out in the press, I think it was a kayfabe interview, but came out in the press and was like, I'm going to have to change the way I wrestle. And then doesn't. And then doesn't. She was running around like a woman possessed, launching herself off the apron into cross bodies and all sorts. Micah, of course, is going to be kept strong. She's in the main event of Dream Queendom. I feel like the way they were able to get the pinfall on Megan Bain with that miscommunication between Micah and Megan Bain worked really well as an excuse for Megan Bain to be pinned. Still keeps her strong, still keeps Micah strong, and is the correct choice when putting your Goddess of Stardom titles onto a new team. I'm looking forward to Oueda Tai XL's challenge, because that is going to be extremely hard hitting. You've got a lot of history there, obviously Tora and Utami, all down to Tora's injury. You've got Momo versus Siren Utami, obviously the return to Queen's Quest. It's going to be a tasty, tasty matchup. And then the main event. What else do I need to say, Matt? Like, we knew that when it was announced.
We knew what we were going to get. We got it.
Jesus wept. Like, both women just beat living hell out of each other, literally from the very first bell. And if there's anyone that is going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Suzu Suzuki in brutality stakes, and not, you know, I'm not talking about light tubes and stuff like that. I'm talking about striking and ferocity and intensity. It is Hazuki. And I feel like here she did just that. She matched Suzu all the way through until she was just caught short with those locomotion German suplexes and then that final one. And the height she got on that German suplex was unreal as well, Matt.
Match starts. I think we might have got a little wrestling to start. No, the bell rings and we're just going to forearm each other. And then we go to the outside, where it's like, who has the advantage? The former Oueda Tai member, and Oueda Tai's got Oueda Tai, or the deathmatch queen and Suzu Suzuki. Well, we're 50-50. There's four sides of the ring, so Hazuki got thrown through two sets of chairs, and Suzu got thrown through two sets of chairs, and then it just kept picking up, and it kept escalating. It was going back and forth. And I mention all the time on this podcast of just how much I absolutely love Hazuki, and I'm so glad that she got the main event a spot in this match, because she so deserves it. And really nobody better to kind of shine Suzu up for, to get her towards the main event of Dream Queendom. I thought this was genius booking on the part of Stardom to have Hazuki in this role. Nobody thought that Hazuki was going to get the win here. I would have absolutely loved it. As much as I love Suzu, and Suzu and Micah is the money match, I would have been like, heck it, it's Hazuki. I don't need an excuse to have Hazuki challenge in the main event for the red belt and a pay-per-view. It's Hazuki. But ultimately, though, it was this brutal kick trio that Suzu, I mean, you see Hazuki is hitting these pump kicks one after another. I'm like, you know that Suzu's coming back. And I've never, you know, with some brutal head kicks. And I've never seen any wrestler feed better for a head kick than Hazuki. She just welcomes it and was like, how can I make your strikes look even better? And she does here. Then she eats the tequila shot. And then you see Suzu. She hits the two locomotion German suplexes back to back, which is kind of her finisher thing that she does. And I thought, okay, this is a finish. This is a great match. And then Hazuki kicks out. And the psychology of the finish is so simple. Suzu's like, oh, she kicked out of my finish? Well, I still have the waist lock on. I'm just going to hit another German suplex. And it was that little extra that this, for me, went from a 4.5-star match to 4.75. Just because they kept Hazuki strong by kicking out of Suzu's double, the locomotion German suplexes. And then it was like, I already have the waist lock. I'm just going to hit another German suplex. And this one was like the most violent one of the match. The exclamation point of Suzu here. I thought it was great. Again, 4.75 stars. Fantastic match.
I just love the adrenaline rush that Hazuki clearly had to kick out of that first one and then just had nothing left to kick out of that final German suplex. She'd already taken the tequila shot. She'd already taken a whole host of head kicks. She'd literally absorbed everything she possibly could from Suzu, but ultimately was just falling short, which is Hazuki's story in big singles title matches. It's just how she manages to get so close and persuade us that maybe the predictable isn't going to happen. And that's how good a wrestler she is. It's why I love that Hazuki and Utami match as much as I do. But ultimately, she's going to get that championship. I know she is going to. We wouldn't keep getting these so close and yet so far storylines if ultimately it's not going to pay off. So I fully believe Hazuki will one day win that white belt. It's not her time now. Obviously, all eyes on Suzu Suzuki and Micah for that main event at Dream Queendom. And just to remind you, that is our main event of Sumo Hall. Suzu Suzuki versus Micah. And if you'd have told me at the start of this year that was where we were going for Dream Queendom, I wouldn't have believed you. But actually, looking at it, now that we've got the story, now that we've got the callbacks to the five-star final and legitimately believable beef on behalf of Micah, I'm really, really excited for Dream Queendom. And especially as we have got a whole host of matches that we haven't got yet. To have Suzu Suzuki versus Micah in the main event, to have Aphrodite versus Oueda Tai XL for the Goddess of Stardom Championship, and then to have Mirai versus Cioriano for the white belt as well, I'm very excited. I think those latter matches as well are huge improvements on last year's card. No disrespect to Haruka Umasaki whatsoever, but I would rather see Mirai versus Cioriano than Sayaka Mitari versus Haruka Umasaki. So very, very exciting in that case. Before we move on to what is coming up, Matt, it's time for Io and Kairi Watch.
Do you want to do Io and Kairi Watch first, or you want me to do my rock and roll segment where you figure out the band?
Oh, no, rock and roll segment.
All right. Now, I'm 50-50 sure that you're going to get this band. If you don't get it, I have a very simple one that you're going to get. So, all right, sir, are you ready?
I am. In the words of DX, I am ready.
All right. I don't need you to figure out every song. I just want to see if you're going to get the band. Cork and Hall. Last week, it was so loud, it was a madhouse. But that was last week. Let's talk about this week. Suzu and Hazuki. Boy, that was hard hitting. Watching it, I felt like I was caught in a mosh. Those two ladies really brought the noise. I love Hazuki. She really fights them like she can't fight no more. I'm excited for the main event of Sumo Hall, Micah and Suzu Suzuki. Regardless of who wins, I think both ladies will breathe some lightning into the championship opportunity. The only question that I have, Rob, if only Tam did not get injured, what would the main event look like? If only. Rob Goodwin, what is that band?
That would be Anthrax, good sir.
Yes, yes. It was Madhouse, Cotton Amash, Bring the Noise, Fight Them Till You Can't, Breathe Lightning, and If Only. Now, I will do another one real, real quick because this one is really funny. Are you ready for your second one? Your bonus one, Rob Goodwin.
My bonus? Yes, of course.
Okay, here we go. Damn it. I thought we were going to get Mina versus Mirai for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. hold on. Damn it. I thought we were going to get Mina versus Mirai for the Wonder of Stardom Championship at Sumo Hall. However, I will never be bored to death of seeing Soraya Anu and Mirai wrestle one more time.
I wonder who that could be. It is, of course, Blink-182. Well done, good sir. Well done.
Absolutely. Let's go right into Io and Kairi Watch, as I know you got to get rolling soon. So Io and Kairi Watch really was just Kairi Watch. You had backstage, Bianca Belair comes out first. She says she wants another title shot against Io. Damage Control all comes out minus Bayley. They jump Bianca, Charlotte, and Shotzi come in. They make the save. That's backstage segment where Io says, Bayley, where were you? We went out there and we got our butts kicked. Bayley said, I didn't know the plan. You guys never told me the plan. Sets up Kairi versus Bianca Belair. Io, as Kairi's coming out, Io tells Bayley, you stay back here because you're going to mess everything up. Now, obviously, that Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and all the members of Damage Control were watching their best of Oueda Tai how to get caught in interference match. Because about a minute in, we have the Damage Control side and Charlotte and Shotzi Blackheart. They both interfere in the match, and the referee tosses them. We get a really good back-and-forth match between Kairi and Bianca Belair. Kairi does a great job isolating Bianca's leg. Eventually, the ref gets distracted. Bayley, out of nowhere, after she was told, hey, that you're not supposed to be here, Bayley comes in. She runs some interference. Kairi goes to the top rope for the insane elbow. She takes way too much time as Bianca Belair hoists up Kairi and hits her with the KOD for the three count. Solid match. I gave it 3.5 stars. However, we've seen Kairi, her return came to a very lukewarm crowd in Saudi Arabia. Her team ate the L in the War Games cage match last week. And then we see here this week, not only did she eat the L to Bianca Belair, but Bayley helped her interfere and still was not able to eat to defeat Bianca Belair. I understand we're trying to build up Bianca more, but I think Kyrie, I think we kind of need to get some steam behind her. That's just me.
I really like the fact that Kyrie is helping these youngsters in WWE, those people that really need sort of the help and the rub. You know,
look at you pulling at me and being positive. Look at you pulling at me.
Absolutely. I'm in no way being sarcastic either. The fact that, you know, Bianca Belair, multi-time women's champion, needed the rub. And what's even more upsetting is that Kyrie has already put over more people in WWE than she did in Stardom. That's, again, who said that? Mm-hmm. Not me. Not me at all, Saya Kamatani. Anyway, let's end on these previews then. So we are coming rapidly close to the end of Stardom's year. We have got a couple of shows on the 9th and the 10th that we will be discussing next week. Hopefully, as the year-end tour rolls around, we will have a significant amount of shows to talk about next week. They have been in Wakayama, Hiroshima, Takamatsu, Osaka, Chiba, and they have been in Kobe as well. So we've got all of those shows that are going to be up on Stardom World. We are going to be going through them all at some point, but obviously not today because they are not on Stardom World as of yet. And Matt, you said it couldn't be done, but we have managed to do this podcast in double quick time. Colin on Patreon is going to be livid.
Yeah, that seems like that. The 2 years we've been doing this together, my friend, it's all been 99% positive. The only time we ever kind of get a knockback is when people open up their podcast feeds and they're like, really, guys, under 2 hours? So
we apologize, Colin. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to leave us a review, it would thoroughly help us out. Leave us a review on all and any of your podcast platforms. We are literally everywhere. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/thestardomcast. Thank you to everyone that is already a patron over there. If you want to follow us on social media, it is at The Stardom Cast. Also the same for our YouTube. And if you want to talk to me, it's at Real Rob Goodwin. Matt Turner signs off.
Absolutely, folks. Don't forget to buy poi. Any questions, comments, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. You want to shoot me an email, thestardomcast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. Folks, that's going to close another show. Thank you so much for the support. Can't do this without you because, like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast because we're all together. Everybody's different. Everybody's special.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.